Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'd. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. One of the goals along the spiritual path is for an individual to achieve what we call spiritual independence. And there's technical terms for this that have been talked about by the ulama, but in terms of what we call it being nisbati ittihadi, but the idea, without getting too technical, is that a person is able to benefit from their teachers in such a way that they no longer are reliant on their teacher in a dependent way to be able to provide light to others. And sometimes it's hard to explain, but this might be an easy way to understand this. Sometimes a person may be asked to give a talk, maybe a khutbah, maybe a halaqa, and you'll prepare for it, you try to do a good job, you give the talk, and when you come back, then you feel spent. So why do you feel spent? It's not something particularly stress invoking if you're talking to just young kids. But regardless of who you were talking to or who your audience was, the reason that a person feels spent is because when you're giving, whatever it may be, ilm, nasiha, spiritual attention, when you're sharing and trying to elevate the spiritual state of others, that requires you to give something of yourself. And if you don't have a lot of reserve, then a person feels after that, particular... After that particular experience or whatever they did, they feel tired. They might feel like that they're just overly fatigued. And sometimes people might actually feel very dirty, actually. And the reason for that is because there is just an uncovering of something that was there underneath anyway. And by, sort of spending and giving to others, that whatever little buffer there was gets used, and what's left is what's underneath the sheets. And sometimes it's not the most pretty thing. So a person sometimes will feel, spiritually unclean or spiritually impure after that. And that's really, in a theoretical sense, one of the mechanisms of what's actually going on, is that it's just an unveiling of what's actually there. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because at that point, if a person engages in istighfar, engages humbly and say, subhanAllah, I gave a talk, I need to work a lot on myself, that's actually an opportunity for a person to build and to cleanse what is underneath what's underneath the surface. But what happens is, along the path at different levels, oftentimes what people will do is that they will draw strength from other individuals, from their teachers, from their mashayikh. And so they sit with their teachers, they're in their sohbah for a long time, and then they go out, and they feel like they need to go back every so often and recharge. And all of us are in some ways dependent on this, right? So many of us survive from itikaf to itikaf, or intensive to intensive, or halaqa to halaqa, or mahfil to mahfil. I mean, I certainly felt like that in med school. It's just that going to weekly talks by Sheikh Hussein is something that helped me keep my head above the water. And, and a bigger recharge would come. You just wait for that Ramadan itikaf to come so that you could just reset. Or whether it was the nights of Nisfa Sha'ban, or whatever situations there were, these were all chances to recharge. charge. And then you would come and you would sit, and whether you even talk to your teacher or not, being in the company of righteous individuals, being in the company of other Muslims, being disconnected from the dunya, these were all things that allow the person to sort of become, to enlighten themselves in a way. And then you're able to give to others as well. And, you know, I can still remember there was this one, you know, person who would, before he would go and give talks, you know, he would feel happy if he got the opportunity to sit with his teacher, because he would like sort of fill up the tank, so to speak, so that he could go and then pour it on to others in a completely spiritual sense, even if not a word was being sent. As a person, and I've talked about this in talks in the past, in terms of the technical sense about, you know, having a reflective nisbah and then having this, finally, this last level, which is what we call nisbat ittihadi. But what happens is when a person reaches that final level, they reach a certain level of spiritual independence. It doesn't mean that a person doesn't need their teachers anymore, and they're a big alama now, and they're a big sheikh, and they don't need anyone, because that's also a huge pitfall when a person feels that they're mustaqil, when a person feels that they're independent and they don't need anyone. But what it does mean is that a person has reached a certain plateau in their spiritual development, that they're able to independently serve as a light to light other people's lamps. They don't necessarily, every time they light someone else's lamp, it's not like their light goes out. That they can continue to burn and keep on lighting other people's lamps. And you see this in the person of the Sahaba, that they were able to, I mean, obviously their situation and their spiritual state with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was completely different from when they were away from him. So they would recharge when they would come in the presence of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's natural and that's understood. But when they were away from him, it didn't mean that they fell apart as people. It didn't mean that they just fell and were mired into sin. You know, they were able to function, and they're able to propagate the deen. And that's why after the passing of the Prophet ﷺ, they were able to go out throughout the world and light the lamps of, you know, hearts of people and individuals in various nations, in various situations, in various places, because they had achieved what we call a certain level of this spiritual independence. They didn't have to necessarily yes, you recharge in the sense that you come to the masjid and, you know, you meet other Muslims, but it wasn't the same sense that they're not fledgling anymore. Now, a person might think, okay, how do I achieve this nisbah and this type of plateau? And this is, like I said, it doesn't mean that a person doesn't keep on reconnecting with their teachers and so on. And when a person actually gets there, they actually feel like they're nothing. But the way that it manifests themselves is that for everything, you're not always necessarily running to your teacher and asking, okay, what do I need to do now? What should I say to this? What should I do to this? That you're able to sort of practice on your own, right? You will still always benefit from going back and meeting your, you know, surgical mentors and, you know, reading their articles and reading peer-reviewed journals, but you can still practice medicine on your own, in your own clinic, wherever you are. And that's important, and people actually need to do that, because it's not practical for, you know, a person to always be available to every single student all the time. And it's not going to be practical for a person to always go and, you know, just rely on having a person that they can go to and talk to their sheikh or their ustaz every single day and call them on the phone. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And so achieving this, it becomes a sort of buffer against shaitan, because shaitan is trying to wear this away. He doesn't want a person to achieve that plateau, because when a person achieves that plateau, not only are they able to carry themselves on for a longer period of time, but they're able to also give to other individuals and ignite within them the love of Allah, the love of the Messenger, and focusing on the Akhirah. Now, a person might ask, well, how do I achieve this level of independence? And I think one of the secrets, and I mean, there's a lot to be said on the topic, but I just wanted to share one secret about this, is by maintaining a daily routine, a daily schedule in which one regularly, consistently, and independently engages in ibadah, because this is a person, this is something that a person is doing habitually on their own. And since it's happening in an environment and it's happening in a context when a person is by themselves, it can also persist and subsist when the person is within themselves. When a person does this, then there's several benefits from this. Number one, that you know, when they're outside of the presence of the i'tikaf, or outside of the intensive, or outside the, you know, the haram, or when they're not in the masjid, then they still have something to hang on to, something to carry them. And the second and very powerful benefit of this is that when a person prepares ahead of time, then when they go and sit with their teacher, or they go to the haram, or they go to the masjid, they're able to benefit from those interactions at a much deeper level. It's just like a person who's, you know, going to their class. If you read, like, you know, I still remember Sheikh Hussein when he used to tell me about how to get ready for, you know, how to study for in madrasa, he would say that, you know, you read the lesson ahead of time. And then you visit the lesson, and then you go and you do the lesson, and then you go and review it afterwards. That's really hard to do. And you know, even if it's in med school, you know, reading whatever is going to happen next day in lecture, you read it ahead of time. So you already taught it to yourself. You cemented by going to lecture, and then, you know, reviewing right after. I mean, try doing that for one day in medical school. It's extremely hard. But when a person is able to prepare, like I said, ahead of time, then they really benefit from that interaction. So what is a person's daily routine supposed to comprise of? Without getting, you know, too much into the weeds, a person's at the very basic level, and the most important level, what a person needs to maintain is they have to maintain their 5 daily prayers. That is the most important part of their daily routine. It's not okay for a person to say that, oh, I just slept through my salah. It's not okay for a person to say, oh, I was just too tired. It's not okay for a person to say that I just got too busy. There's no excuse. We have to be 100% when it comes to our 5 daily prayers. That's the ultimate recharge. And that's going to be the basis for a person, whoever they are, to maintain spiritual independence later in the absence of, you know, other people to motivate them and not fall back into a sinful life. The second thing is that there should be a daily interaction with the kalam of Allah. That's the second most important thing that a person can do, that they should make regular tilawa of the Quran, whether you understand it or you don't understand it, whether you ponder upon it and you don't ponder upon it. And the same thing with the salah. You know, it's the best thing, obviously, if you pray with khushu, but regardless whether you pray with khushu or not, the salah has to occur. And regardless whether you ponder in the Quran or not, the daily recitation has to occur. And when a person is able to maintain this regular routine, this creates a backbone that becomes a pillar in their life. It becomes a habit in their life. And when you do it on a habitual level, sometimes people lose that flavor, and it doesn't have the same pizzazz, it doesn't have the same significance, so to speak. So sometimes people say, you know, start questioning, is this even doing anything? But it truly is. And a person will not realize what it's doing until, subhanAllah, how shaitan takes it away. He slowly tries to strip this from an individual. If they actually lose it, and then they try to get it back, they could try for years and not get it back. And then they see what their life is like, and they're like, subhanAllah, I thought I was in such a bad situation because I wasn't praying with khushu. Now I can't even make my 5 daily prayers, and where am I now? I'm in this quagmire, and I'm in this quandary now, because I've fallen so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily routine's very important. And then on top of that, then what you add, you know, fabiha, right? That's the cherry on top. If a person can make regular dhikr, great. If a person can make regular muraqabah, great. If a person can make regular review of their ilm and their lessons, ilmi lessons that they studied before, great. All of these things are extra, but at the very basic level, these are things that a person should try to maintain on a daily basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to maintain a daily routine such that it helps us to continue on the path in Surat al-Mustaqim regardless of the situation and place that we are in, such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be pleased with us, because in the end, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to worship, and we need to worship Him regardless of the context and the situation that we're in.